Take your Bibles tonight and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We finished chapter 3 last week. We talked about divine design for leadership. And verse 1, it talks about the desire and leadership, because biblical leadership is essential in the church. Leadership in the church should be responding to the call of God.
Amen.
That call can't be made up by you. It's made up by God. And it comes from Him, and it's for Him. Leadership shows a commitment to God for His glory and for His goals. It's not for money. It's for God's glory. Verses 2 through 13, we see the demands of leadership, and specifically in verses 2 through 7, we see the qualifications for the bishop or pastor or elder, all the same thing. They have to have exemplary character and conduct. They have to be able to manage their family well and lead their family. They can't be a novice. They need to be experienced in the faith. And they need to be on reproach with the community. They need to be esteemed by the community. Deacons also are leadership in the church. Their position and selection is identified in the early churches needing to help the pastor, in this case the apostles, so they can minister and preach the word. You can find that in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. But then in verses 8 through 13, it talks about their qualification. Their character has to be just godly, okay? They have to have a clear conscience. They have to be committed. They have to rule their family well. Their families need to behave properly. And the consequence is that they have gotten a good work. And then in verses 14 through 16, we see the display of leadership. The motivation is that these instructions must be heard. Timothy's a young man. He's been left behind in Ephesus to put things in order. And if you don't have leadership, you have chaos. And so if you have confusion, you have chaos. And so he says these instructions must be heard. These instructions must be heeded. They must be obeyed. And then he gives the message. The message of the church is the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
So tonight, we're going to look through all of chapter 4. You know, the army says, be all you can be. God wants you to be all you should be.
Amen.
Amen. And we're going to be looking at all 16 verses, 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we need to be who God wants us to be. So in this chapter, Paul is telling Timothy, these are the things that could be on the outside that could come into the church and attack it. And this is what you need to do to be an example to lead the church. Verses 1 through 5, he says, the first thing you need to understand is you need to be aware of deceptive influences. The world is all around. The world wants to come through. Satan is a father of lies. He wants to deceive. And in verses 1 and 2, he says, beware of false spirits. He says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. This is a divine warning. He says, the Spirit speaketh expressly. This is an attack on all churches, all that would do right. And we have the Spirit of truth. We need to listen to God. Some people don't listen to the Holy Spirit. They listen to themselves. Or they listen to someone that's trying to draw them away. And we see a lot of churches go off the deep end. John chapter 16, verse 13 says this. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into what? All truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear from God, that shall He speak. And He shall show you things to come. Here we see the same things. It's that in the latter times, some shall depart And we need to be prepared for that. And we need to stand for the truth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul writes and says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. The church teaches what the pastor thinks, you need to leave. It's what God says. It's what the Word of God says. But which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So, beware of false spirits. This is God speaking. Are you hearing Him tonight? Beware of deceitful workers. It says there will be some that depart from the what? Depart from following the faith, giving heed or giving place to seducing spirits. We're not supposed to give place to the devil. We're not ignorant of his devices. We know that he comes to seek and devour people. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. There's a lot of people closing their eyes, hoping that this will get better. It won't. We're in the last days. Amen. And the world system is being set up for people to be deceived. It says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They actually think they're doing the truth. And they're motivated to it. And we see that today. So they're deceitful workers and they're departed minds. In verse 2, it says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. In Titus chapter 1, verse 6, Paul gives an instruction to him. He says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and to what? Every good work reprobate. It's not in the repertoire anymore. Paul writes to the Galatians. He says, y'all started out well. What happened? There's a lot of churches that start out well. What happened? Satan gets in. Beware of deceptive influences. Beware of false spirits. God's warning us. The workers are out there and they're deceitful because their mind is far away from God. Beware of false statutes or false rules. You know, religion is man's rules. There are three here. It says forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Beware of rules and false statutes that bring bondage. That put you back into trying to be better yourself. Let God fix you. You can't fix yourself.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. It says, but now, after ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? And what was he talking about? He observed days and months and times and years. Every day is the Lord's day.
Amen.
There's no special day. Okay? This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad. Remember back in the Old Testament, I think it was with Zechariah. They were setting up all these feasts based on them going into captivity. And they were mourning for all this stuff. And God tells Zechariah, who commanded this? Who said this? Why are you doing this? And there's a lot of people today that do things, they don't even know why they're doing it. And they think they're doing it for the right reason, but they're being deceived. And they're going off track. So, beware of false statutes. The first thing is, they bring back into bondage because they say, this is what you have to do. And then you feel guilty if you don't. The second thing that they do, they belie, not belie, belief, okay? They belie belief. Colossians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, it says, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ, we're dead to all that stuff. From the what? The rudiments of the world and a bunch of rules. Why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Like touch not, please not, handle not. You know, there's some things you need to stay away from. You know why? Because the Word of God says so. Mm-hmm. There's some things you don't do because the Word of God says so. But it's not what I think, it's what God's Word says. Wow. And that's how we're supposed to live our life. And so beware of all statutes that bring bondage. You know, we get into this whole thing about New Year's resolution. How many keep a New Year's resolution? You know, I've tried. The best I've done is a month. And then it goes away. I've tried to do things, and I don't. It's not that. It's your heart. It's your attitude. Okay? It's not a bunch of rules. So, how can you avoid this? You need to behold the blessings of God. In verses 4 and 5, it says, for every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused. It kind of sounds like every good gift and every perfect gift coming from above. If it be received with what? Thanksgiving. Okay? For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. You know, here's the reason why. Because he creates the way he created them. Creation was made good. Genesis chapter 1 verse 31 says, and God saw how much? Everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. You know who messed it up? We did. All creation groans because of our sin. Death passes on for all men, for all have sinned. All creation groans waiting for the redemption of the body. And eventually God will create a new heaven and a new earth. Behold the blessings of God, the way he created them. Secondly, the way he consecrates them in verse 5. For it says, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Now think about this. How did creation happen in the first place? God spoke it into existence. Okay? How did God heal at times? Just spoke. And it happened. Nah, we never have a problem with this. We're hard-headed. I'll give you an example. Peter was hard-headed. In Acts chapter 10, basically, Peter is going to be prepared by God to go talk to the Gentiles. Now, the Jews have no dealing with the Gentiles. And so the way he got Peter's attention is that Peter was hungry. And he goes up to the roof, and in prayer, he sees a sheep come down with all these unclean animals. And a voice from heaven, God, tells him, arise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter says, I've never eaten anything unclean. And God shows him again. And says, but Peter says, no, not so. Not so, Lord. For I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. That's the problem of a false spirit. That's the problem of a false statute. Okay? And the voice spake unto him again a second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. You know, God created everything. And everything's beautiful. God uses everything. And we need to look at it God's way. When we don't look at things God's way, or that God is in the creation business, then we can be led astray by false teaching. We can be led astray by any sort of deceptive influence. So beware of deceptive influences. In verses 6 through 11, the rest of the slides are fixed. This one's not. Be committed to godliness. We need to consume the truth. In verse 6 it says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of what? These things. What? Beware of false teachers. Beware of false laws. Understand God made all this stuff. Then thou shalt be a what? Good minister of Jesus Christ. Nourished up or feeding in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast obtained. So he says we need to consume the truth. It takes effort on our part. In Proverbs 4, verse 7, it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Okay? That's words of faith is wisdom. Words of truth are wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Sell out to it. Make it an integral part of your life. Make it the thing, make it your goal to understand God. It takes effort. The second thing is the extent. Okay? It's faith and good doctrine. We could be a minister of Christ. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, we've seen this verse over and over again. According to as his divine power hath given unto us what? All things, including his word, including the Spirit, that pertain unto what? Life and godliness. Now, if you don't put God first, you won't be godly.
That's right.
If you don't do things God says to do, you won't be godly. If you don't abstain from evil, if you abstain from evil, you'll be godly. But if you fall into it, you won't be godly. So pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge. Where do you get knowledge?
God's word.
From God.
Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So he tells us here, he said, be nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. We need to eat the truth. We need to consume the truth. Then we need to contend with your mind. Paul in Romans talks about the battlefield as the mind. He says, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You prove all that is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. Verse 7, how can you contend with your mind and bring it under subjection? First of all, avoid distractions. Avoid distractions. It says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables. And exercise thyself rather unto godliness. You know, there's a lot of people that spend a lot of effort trying to run down these rabbit trails. Trying to run down these fables and prove them wrong. No. Just dismiss them. Just refuse. Reject them. Avoid distractions. Because anything that takes your mind off of God and what you should be doing is a distraction.
Amen.
Okay? Verse 8. Advance your desire for godliness. In verse 8 it says, for bodily exercise profiteth little. The word for exercise is being used here is gymnasium. It's gymnasium, where gymnasium comes from.
Amen.
So it's talking about working out. Okay? For bodily exercise profiteth what? little, okay? You can be the most buff dude in the world, but if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're on your way to hell.
Yeah.
And you can't show anybody the truth.
That's right.
You might look good, but you aren't good. For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is what? Profitable unto all things. You know, you can make your financial decisions based on the Bible. You can make your family decisions based on the Bible. You can make your job decisions based on the Bible. You can make career decisions based on the Bible. Telling the kids in school, you can make your school decisions based on the Bible. Because godliness is profitable in all things. Having what? Promise of the life that now is. See, God gives us life and life more abundantly. And of that which has come, and the best is yet to come.
Amen.
The best is yet to come. We need to advance the desire in our life for God. You know why we don't do something? We don't have desire for it. So if you don't have a desire to be godly, you won't. Right? So we need to avoid distractions. We need to advance the desire for godliness. And then in verse 9, Paul emphasizes this. He says, you need to adhere to this principle. He says, this is a faithful saying. What? Bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto what? All things. Amen. Having the promise of this life that now is and of that which is coming. That's a faithful saying. And it's worthy of what? All acceptation. You need to sell out to it. You need to accept it as God's word, and that's truth. So you need to consume the truth. It takes effort. The extent should be a total extent in our lives. We need to contend with your mind and avoid distractions. Advance the desire for godliness and adhere to this principle. And then you need to be convinced of hope. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 10 through 11, it says, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God,
amen,
who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach.
Amen.
Okay? We need to be convinced and hope in the journey. He says we labor and suffer reproach. The journey for God is one of work.
Amen.
The journey of God is one of persecution. Those are biblical principles that we know here. The issue is, if you don't have hope, you won't work. If you don't have hope, you won't get through trouble. Okay? Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you what? All joy and peace in believing, that ye may what? Abound in hope. You know how you get hope? Believe in it now. See it work. And then it builds on itself. Through the what? Power of the Holy Ghost. So we need to be convinced in hope in our journey in this life. We need to be convinced in hope in verse 10 in Jesus. He is our hope.
Amen.
Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope. You looking for Jesus tonight?
Yeah.
Are you looking for His truth? And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to be convinced of where our future is.
Yeah.
We need to be convinced He's coming back.
Amen.
We need to live like that.
Yeah.
Convinced in hope in this journey, in Jesus. And then also we need to judge that in our life, in judging ourselves. I'll give you three verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 says this, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. How? He judges them against the Holy Spirit and against the Word of God. Yet he himself is judged of who? No man. God is my judge. If I do what God wants me to do, I don't care what man does. Amen. I don't care what he says. Because that's who I need to please.
That's right.
He's who I need to please. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Gets back to that thing about being a pastor. He's supposed to have no reproach. Have a good reputation. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. But I keep my under my body. This is that exercise thing. And bring it into subjection. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway because I'm a hypocrite. So we need to consume the truth. We need to contend in our mind. We need to be convinced in hope. That's how we commit to godliness. Lastly, verses 12 through 16, we need to be example of faith. He's encouraging Timothy to do this. The easiest example of our faith to see is a walk. Verse 12, he says, let no man despise thy youth. But be thou what? An example of what?
The believers.
You should strive to be the best believer. Be an example. Be someone that others can look up to. Question. Are we that person? Can someone look up to our faith and say, he's following Christ. I want to follow like him. Paul says, be ye followers of me as I'm a follower of Christ. And so he says, be an example of belief. In what? In your word, in your speech. In your work, in your conversation. In your love. In what makes you tick, your spirit. In your faith. And in purity. 1 Peter gives the same example. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3 says, neither be as being lords over God's heritage, but being what? Examples to the flock. Anyone in leadership in the church needs to heed this. Because you lead by what?
Example.
You lead by example. So be an example of faith and walk. Be an example and faith in your work or your ministry. Verse 14. Neglect. It's like, did I miss something? Okay, go on. Verse 13. Okay. I dropped this out. Okay. And oh, there it is. Hang on.
Yeah.
Slides are out of order. Okay.
Is that right?
Be an example of the word. Verse 13 says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says this, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, doing what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. So we need to be, first of all, an example in our walk. We need to be, secondly, an example in the word, that we actually live by God's principles. And then, we need to be an example in work. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, it says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Okay? So that's his ministry. You can look good, but if you don't do good, how can you prove to people that you are good? Right? And that's what he's saying. We say that we have a gift of God, but if we never use that gift, how can you prove it? So, we need to be an example of faith and work, And then lastly, verses 15 through 16, we need to be an example of faith and watching. It says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself, how? Wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. People need to see you grow.
Amen.
People need to see you be led by Christ. People need to see you be spirit-filled. We need to think on that. And we need to ask ourselves continually, are we that person? Are we that? Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, what? Doctrine, continuing, and taking heed. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Be an example of faith. So, tonight I ask this question. We'll make the statement. We are what we believe. Okay? And the real problem is, the real issue is who do you believe? Do you believe God? Then let God work in your life. If you believe in yourself, then get out of yourself and let God get into your life.
Amen?
Amen? So let's all stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I ask that you be in this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts and help us, Lord, to live for you. Father, help us to be the example. Help us, Lord, not to fall for false things. Help us, Lord, to be diligent and be committed to godliness. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its truth. And Father, I pray that now it changes our lives. And Father, we leave here more committed to be more like you. Lord, if someone here does not know you, Lord, as Savior, I pray that this will be the night of their salvation. Lord, I pray for Nanda. I ask to be with her family, that they would get saved. Now, Father, just help us, Lord, to surrender to you tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.